Subscribe to a Tim, and we'll give you a Sid absolutely free. Tim and Sid podcast available at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher.
Today on Tim and Sid, the St. Louis Blues need some goals.
That is correct. The Jays get a much-needed win.
And the Raptors need...
like everything.
Yeah,
a lot. They need a lot of stuff.
And that.
So much stuff.
And that.
Oh.
A little needy today on Tim and Sid.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
We're actually a little needy every day on Tim and Sid.
I might be the neediest person in Canadian sports broadcasting.
I don't know. You ever had a conversation with Dave Hodge?
I love Dave Hodge. I'm not good. I'm scared to death of Dave Hodge. He's a ninja.
He's amazing.
Just tell me I'm good.
You're good.
Thank you. It's Friday, May 20th. Happy long weekend to you and yours. Long
weekend. I would pick Dave Hodge.
Like, Dave Hodge is the man.
I respect him the most.
Is it a long weekend across Canada?
Huh?
It's a long weekend across Canada, correct?
I believe so.
I'm not excluding some provinces here inadvertently. If I am, my apologies. Happy
Why
long weekend.
Why do you ask
weekend.
Me that? Like, I know that. Like,
you invented the map of Canada.
I usually try and look those things up. I didn't look it up today.
Whatever, Jean Cartier.
Put me in a... What?
What? I'm Sid Texero. Whatever. His real name is Bruce. Did you know this?
Yeah.
I'm Sid
Texero. Bruce Karcher.
Bruce Karcher.
Right.
I'm Sid Texero. He's Tim McCallum. This is Tim and Sid. Get a hold of us anytime on Twitter at Tim and Sid.
Facebook, Instagram, sportsnet.ca/Tim and Sid. Other ways you can enjoy our delicious content. Coming up over the next 2 hours of what we hope is edutainment, we will discuss the Raptors.
In a big hole.
The Blues.
In a big slump.
Best of the week.
Alvin Williams.
In studio.
Don Cherry.
Coming on the show?
Yep.
Nice. Blue Jays.
Actually win.
That's right.
How about this?
Let's wait, Don Cherry on the show.
Long weekend.
Wrong one. We don't have a long weekend, by the way.
No, oh, sorry. Other not for us. For all
other people have a long weekend.
There you go. And after the long weekend is done...
I had a lot of diarrhea.
Okay, Channel Park.
Let's begin with the Toronto Blue Jays, who last night continue to have some of the same problems we've seen them have all year.
Yeah.
Great starting pitching, wasted. Men in scoring position, not driven in.
No.
For the most part. But unlike a lot of moments so far this year, the Jays actually found a way to push through.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Tulowitzki managed to drive home the winning run in the 11th, snapping a 5-game losing streak, helping the Jays beat one of the worst teams in baseball.
I was wondering when you were going to moan.
You know me.
10-30 Twins.
I am Johnny Positive.
All right.
Before we turn the page on last night, let's also acknowledge the evening Marco Estrada had.
Okay.
Applauso.
Yeah. Applauso.
8 innings. Give me a little something there. 9 strikeouts. 1 earned run allowed for Marco Estrada.
Right.
But as usual, the Jays supported Estrada as much as the Republican establishment supports Donald Trump.
They don't actually do
They don't really it. At no. all. Jays are managing 2.50 runs per Estrada start, 7th worst number in the game today, one of the worst in the American League. Shout out to Marco Estrada. We believe in you.
A lot of political references coming from that side of the table over the last little while.
Oh, there's more coming.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm not touching.
Nice, all right.
I like my job.
Jays try and begin an actual winning streak tonight in Minnesota. Aaron Sanchez, Tyler Duffy, the pitching matchup, Blue Jays Central, hits the air. Sportsnet 1, 7:30 Eastern time. Quick note with Duffy. He made his MLB debut last August against the Jays. And that was a bad time to be facing the Jays lineup.
Worst time to face the Jays.
They lit them up. Six runs allowed over just 2 innings. Toronto is hoping that history repeats itself in this spot. One other Blue Jays note to pass along. In just a few moments, we'll let you hear what President Mark Shapiro had to say during an appearance on the Jeff Blair Show earlier today. Can you tell that I'm choking down a burp as I speak?
You know what? I read that incorrectly.
No?
Finish choking on said burp while I pick it up, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically what he said when asked about John Gibbons' status is coming up right here.
That's what I was attempting
to do. What are the odds of that? We both choked on our own burps.
That's what I was attempting to do.
Sorry.
I didn't want to spit all over the table.
I failed you there, Timmy. I'm sorry.
Too hot. I got to stop eating those bacon double cheeseburgers before we come on the air.
Look at me. never stop eating the bacon double cheeseburgers.
Right, they won't.
They're so good.
To hockey and the St.
From
Louis
Harvey's.
Blues. The St. Louis Blues find themselves in a very interesting situation. They can't score on Marty Jones.
That's a problem.
San Jose's number one goalie has not allowed a goal since period two of game one in the Western Conference Final. That spans 150 minutes. Jones put another donut on the board last night. And given the Sharks a 2-1 series lead, game four goes tomorrow on CBC.
Timmy, by the way, Nova Scotia apparently only province without a long weekend this weekend. Did
Is
you know?
It just Nova Scotia?
I'd like to verify this
wanna,
Twitter at Tim and
Sid. Want to give a
know.
Camera hug to the people in Nova Scotia because you gave. Hold on, wait. I know you're looking longingly at Nova Scotia right now. You're looking at Halifax. You're looking at Truro. You're looking at Pictou County. You're looking at North Preston.
In Evansville.
Right? Evansville?
I don't know if there's an Evan.
You're looking at them.
Thanks, D.
And you shouted everybody else out for having this long weekend. And they're saying, May 2 for what, Sydney? What are you talking about? So I think Nova Scotia needs a little love in this spot because they're feeling left out by the rest of the country. And they shouldn't feel that way. They're a wonderful province.
Nova Scotia, mea culpa. I didn't mean to single you out while the rest of us wear sandals and sit in cottage chairs drinking Moosehead and Budweiser, but mostly Budweiser. Budweiser kicks Moosehead's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with the fact they're a loyal sponsor to Tim and Sid.
You're doing the Nova Scotia thing with Moosehead. I get it.
Nova Scotia, meet me here. I'm sorry. You got to work Monday, most of you. Come here.
Whoa. Oh my God. Nova Scotia just puked in their mouth. What are you doing?
Can we have a moment here? Can you just leave us alone? Can you leave it? What are you, a chaperone at a grade 7 dance? Leave us alone for a second. Me and Nova Scotia. It's okay.
I can't
You're going to have your day off on a Monday coming up, Nova Scotia. I'm sorry.
Look at me, boy. Stop it.
Peace and love. Your boyfriend, Sid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nova Scotia's boyfriend, Sid Sixero.
I think we just gained a lot of viewers.
I think the control room one is silent. Two.
I know two people in the control room that were looking at me longly, by the way.
I firmly believe
I'm not gonna say who.
That we just lost thousands of viewers. I heard the channels changing. Like, remember that old school?
And it's not even old school. Yeah. Remember the buttons of the old school?
Remember you push two buttons at the same time and go in the channel in between? You could watch two shows at the same time?
I can't watch PBS like this.
I could hear.
Oh, now we're quick on the draw with this, eh, guys?
Hear. Oh, my God.
Yeah, way to go inside the NBA. Yeah, you're. Oh my God! It's like a hungry turtle.
Oh, your poor wife.
It's like an excited snapping turtle.
Let me tell you something. You said this before, and I've never believed it to the point that I believe it now. Your wife is a saint. Your wife is an absolute saint. So you want to talk goaltending?
I hope Mark Messier was watching that in 4K.
Yes. Who's got a 4K TV?
Mark Messier
and
would
is
have
still watching.
Nothing to do with Rodgers again after that.
There is nobody.
Well, hey, you got some virtual reality and what it's like to love me.
You don't
Deggan's having a real blast about this, eh? All right, let's move on here.
Amy writes in from Nova Scotia, #vomit. Sarah, Nova Scotia's boyfriend, right? Laughing with tears, emojis. And Neil, keep it in your pants, Sarah.
Welcome to Keep It In Your Pants Fridays here on Tim and Sid.
Wait, whoa, what? Chris just wrote in and said, I live in Nova Scotia and have a long weekend. Did he take the Monday off?
Did I just make out with that camera for no reason?
For no reason? Okay, well, I'll look it up.
We'll figure this out.
I'll do the research. Let's talk goaltending, because I know that's the situation that we need to talk about.
We need to segue.
Marty Jones. Right? Shutouts, 150
Marty Jones,
minutes.
Marty Jones.
Rhymes with Smarty Jones. Good horse.
Goaltending's been a huge story for San Jose so far, Tim.
Yes, it
is. But not the only reason for their success. The line of Pavelski, Hertl, and Joe Thornton have been, how do you say, fantastic. Thornton specifically was great last night, and some think he's playing the best hockey, dare I say, folk Focus McAuliffe.
I'm crying.
Of his entire career. Tears of appreciation for how much love I have for Nova Scotia. After the game, Thornton was asked a question regarding his current level of play. And in this time where hockey cliches are getting to the point where they feel like someone is stabbing you in the ears, Thornton's response to the question last night was beyond refreshing.
Are you surprised at all at the way you continue to play at this stage of your career?
No. I know I'm a great player.
That's good. That's applauso, Joe Thornton. He did it such a nice way, too.
Well, that's Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
Jumbo Joe. The Eastern Conference final resumes tonight. Penguins will try and take a 3-1 series lead back home to Pittsburgh. Steven Stamkos, Ben Bishop, once again, unavailable for Tampa this evening. That puck will drop 8 p.m. Eastern. Once again, on CBC. One more hockey note for you from Hockey Night.
Oh, great save.
You know what I'm saying?
Great save.
No, it wasn't a
save. Like Marty Jones.
Don Cherry will be on Tim and Sid today. We'll ask him about the Sharks. We'll ask him about a conversation about Phil Kessel. Yes, is Phil Kessel a Conn Smythe? Could he win the Conn Smythe? Maybe some Raptors, maybe some Jays. Who knows what we'll get into with Donald S. Cherry. We're going around the horn with grapes later on right here on Tim and Sid. But we begin with the thing that we have to begin with. It's the Raptors.
Yeah, it's the Raptors.
And it's our lead. Brought to you by Harvey's. Harvey's makes your hamburger a beautiful thing. Now, we are attempting to come up with a single image to properly illustrate what exactly has gone on through two games between the Raptors and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. Sometimes pictures tell a thousand words. We can be in this moment as articulate as we want to be. Sometimes, Sidney, an image is better. Should we show a dunk?
Maybe.
A missed assignment?
Plenty of those.
A post-game clip?
A lot of those.
A clip from an American television network? Don't get me wrong. Any of those would suffice in this moment. But a picture, speaks a thousand words. And we came up with the picture.
This is the picture that surfaced last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that about sums it up, kids. LeBron James hovering over Luis Scola, ready to stomp on his very existence, not unlike Godzilla. Back in the day,
what?
In the 1964 cinematic classic, Mothra versus Godzilla.
What?
The role of Mothra, if you'll notice, being played by Luis Scola, was a complicated movie involving a fight between Mothra and Godzilla.
So it's like a fight?
The movie was basically a huge fight between Godzilla and a thing called Mothra.
There were no like subplots about Mothra's mom treating him unfairly early on in his life?
There was no love interest with Mothra's mom. And there was nothing going on other than a scrap between Mothra and Godzilla.
Did his dad not play catch with him when he was a youngster?
There was a lot going on there, Tim. Or maybe just a fight between Mothra and Godzilla.
All right.
It is the perfect image for what has been a far from picture-perfect series.
And we needed a perfect image after watching Sixero make out with the camera, but whatever.
By the way, I think Nova Scotia has the holiday on the Monday. 19 people are tweeting in. I may have...
All for nothing.
It was well.
Was there another province? Is there another province?
Somewhere on Earth doesn't have a holiday on Monday. That makeout went to them.
But JR says that Newfoundland and Labrador and Nova Scotia only provinces not to consider Monday as a national stat day.
Oh, hold on.
So maybe they get the day, but...
Okay.
They don't actually get the stat on it. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it wasn't all for naught, Tim.
All right, we're going to find out. We're going to do some research on this.
And by research, people tweeting into the show.
Hey.
Raptors have lost games 1 and 2 of the Eastern Conference Final by a combined 50 points. Yeah. Second largest difference through two games in NBA Conference Finals history. Things got so bad last night, the dreaded Q word was being thrown around at the Q. Specifically by those in the American media.
There's not a single guy, I don't think, in that locker room that believes they belong in this series. And you can see it in their body language. They're a defeated team. And that run at the end of the second quarter, that really took all of the wind out of their sails to come out for the second half and compete. I'm disappointed in the lack of fight tonight. I thought I was going to see a much better, much more committed effort out of Toronto. They just couldn't sustain it. They had a little bit of run in the first half, but they just quit. As soon as things start to go the wrong direction, they don't face adversity well.
Wow.
That's more than, like, I'm diminishing that by playing the Save by the Bell woo, right?
But I know where you're going. It's big. It's a big word to use, the Q word.
The Q word, that they don't belong in the series? Like, that's a lot. Casey, after the game, knew there was some sort of notion hovering over his team performance, and he attempted to meet it head on.
I don't think our guys have quit. I refuse to believe that. I've been around these guys. We won 56 games. We've been down before. We had some rough patches, and they bounced back. So I think this is the first time we've lost in the playoffs on, you know, this two games in a row. So, again, this team will bounce back. And, you know, and that's, I believe in them, and they've got to believe in themselves, and I think they do.
6-1 following a playoff loss. Yeah. That one, not really that close.
No. 31 points game one, 19 points game two. There were 11 lead changes in the first half.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. 11 lead changes. But why is it felt like they were down by 15 the whole time?
Well, because,
why is that?
Because we were just waiting for the end of the second quarter to arise.
We were waiting for Godzilla to show up.
And when it did... whammo, right in the face.
Absolutely.
Right? One of the more interesting moments, I guess, from last night was in that spot, last 2 minutes of the opening half. Cameras caught Kyle Lowry momentarily leaving to the dressing room late in the first half. He eventually returned for a few moments later, but it was certainly an odd visual. After the game, Kyle was asked about it.
Just to kind of decompress, you know, get back there, just kind of relax my body and relax my mind, and you know, knowing that we had a chance to, you know, kind of make some things, and you know, I wanted to get myself going and get myself going to get my teammates going and get the team going, and it was nothing more than kind of just to decompress, breathe, get back out.
I've never seen a guy need a decompressor in a conference final. Have you ever seen that?
I went to Sport Check earlier today. Get some tennis balls to batting practice
tennis
with my
balls?
Son. And one of the fellows there said, have you ever heard of anyone having to decompress?
Wow, the guy at SportCheck throwing shade at Kyle.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, me, several times in my life.
I have to decompress what happened here.
I'd have to decompress. I don't know how often I've seen. I mean, guys decompress in different ways. Some guys throw chairs. Some guys throw an elbow at another player. The walk-off and then come back is puzzling to me.
Right before halftime.
Puzzling. Now, that's his normal time to sit down, right?
Yes.
Like, let's be fair in this spot. That's his normal time to sit down. But if something happens to Corey Joseph in that spot, if coach turns down and says, listen, Kyle, like, what? Now, The only thing that I can throw into this conversation is he just hurt? Like, he had a member of the staff walking with him, and he's not going to admit in this spot that he's hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to go, listen, my elbow was killing me, and I asked him if they could do anything, like put some tape on it or inject me with some sort of pain medication that would allow me to continue. He's not going to say that in a post game. But the decompress, I've heard of it. I've never seen it in that way.
No, I've never seen that either.
Seen goalies get yanked out of a game, walk down the tunnel, right?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that's why they lost. I'm not saying, like, listen, there's a big picture to last night, and you all saw it. But it's just kind of one of those things that everyone's looking at after the fact going,
what the hell happened?
Exactly. Now, considering we've rarely seen Kyle actually walk off the court like that before halftime, as we've established, people's imaginations started to run a little wild, i.e., did Kyle actually just walk out on his own team in their darkest hour? Earlier today, during their media briefings in the city of Toronto, both Kyle and Coach Casey had a very simple, yet kind of hilarious reason for what happened last night.
Cal did not walk out on his team. He and Corey Joseph used the bathroom more than any two human beings I know during the game. You know, and I know the nervousness is there, and guys do it before the game, but I didn't even notice him going to the back, but he does it all the time. He'll go back in, use the bathroom, come back out. They happen to catch it on camera.
All right.
So what we know, too, from that is when Doris Burke went to go get the answer, our crack reporters, Eric Smith, right there, they heard the exact same thing, that it was a bathroom. And we'll talk to Eric a little later on in the show, but we have corroborated evidence to suggest that that was the spot in the moment, too.
Okay, so if that's the case, that's fine. Why not just say that last night?
Yeah, the decompressed part. Why don't you say
Listen, if you got to go to the washroom, that's fine. I got to go right now. We're all human beings.
Well, I got to go to the washroom for a different reason after you made out with the camera, but that's...
I got to go. Listen, Tim's got to make a throw up in his mouth in other places, and I got to go. We're all human. Just say it. It just seemed like an unnecessary thing.
To add to the equation of all going on.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a bad thing to do if it wasn't actually... Listen, who's going to call him out? Like, if he says, I had to go to the washroom, is Dave McMenamin going to jump up and go, BS! I know your bladder! You didn't... No one's going to say that. Nobody. Just give yourself a break. It just seems like every corner they turn, they smack themselves in the face like a politician running into a camera. Like, just... It doesn't make any sense.
There's two more things, and you wasted all the time by making out with the camera, and I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but I am. There's two more things. One, the foul discrepancy. Can we just explain that? Alvin Williams will join us. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it. But mainly it's because you're a jump-shooting team. Like, Canada, relax. We all know that everyone wants to see LeBron James in the final, but that's not the case here. That's not why it's 37-19. One, Cleveland's at home. Two, they take it to the tin. They go to the rack. And when you go to the rack, you get foul calls. When you're a jump-shooting team, you don't get the ticky-tack on the elbow, on the wrist fouls all the time. Did I think the refs were good last night? Nah, they were terrible. But that is not even close to the reason why you lost that game, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that your team's from Canada.
I just think as a fan base and as a sports nation, we got to be better than that. Agreed. Every Canadian team in a postseason spot against an American club, it's the same weak-ass BS from the fans, and I'm done with it. Watch the game and you will know exactly what's going on. Watch the game and you'll have a very good perspective on what's happening. Just don't sit there and live in Ignorantville and just believe the world is against you. It isn't. The Cavs are against you.
Yeah, and they're good.
And they're beating your ass right now. Mm-hmm. That's who's against you, not the refs. And the refs are awful in the NBA.
Yeah, like
they're a bunch of Earl Hebners running around.
The one thing that I'll give you on this spot is NBA officiating is bad,
yeah.
And everyone in the States, they constantly complain about NBA officiating. Wait. That's just what you do. But it's not a Canada versus USA thing.
No.
It's just the NBA officials aren't that good because it's a tough job to officiate an NBA game.
It's actually a testament to the ass-kicking that's going on that you and I can sit here and go, yes, they are the worst referees on the planet, but they weren't at fault last
night. No, they weren't. So
that says a lot. Says a lot.
The question that everyone is asking me, including the guy at SportCheck earlier today, is it's not can they win the series. It's now become can they win a game in the series. And I think that's because if you could make an argument, and I'll have the argument with you, that the Cavs have the top three players on the floor. Right? Like if you want to just break this down, do the Cavs have the best three players on the floor? Because if they do, it's no match. And whatever the quitting and the what you can do and scratch and claw and if they can win a game, all that becomes irrelevant if they have the top three players on the floor. And the one argument is Kevin Love versus Lowry or DeRozan. And let me tell you something about DeMar DeRozan, Sidney Sixero.
What's that?
Canada. DeMar DeRozan, we had the conversation on whether or not he's a max player. Here are the numbers of DeMar DeRozan on the court and off the court. These are numbers. Sometimes they're like swimsuit models. They show a lot, but they don't show everything.
I like your Tele-Latino one that you say.
Sometimes numbers are like Tele-Latino on a Saturday night. They show a lot, but they don't show everything.
I love that.
Here's DeMar DeRozan's plus minus when he's on the floor and when he's not on the floor. And the numbers are relatively damning in this spot.
That says it all.
Okay?
Look at that.
Now, I'd like to go with offensive efficiency as well. On the court, minus 38. Off the court, minus 4. Here are the offensive efficiency numbers. Regular season, better team with him off the court than on the court, especially defensively. Postseason, exact same thing. Like, that right there is scary if you're a Raptors fan looking at the future of this franchise.
Yeah. It's not a good number. But it just goes to the conversation we had yesterday about, do you devote 30% of your cap to that number?
Right.
There are people who might be more than willing to, and that's fine. If it's your money, if you're a GM of the NBA, you want to do that, go ahead.
Like, those numbers, I asked, we have a stats group here that is fantastic. You can follow them on Twitter, Sportsnet Stats. I asked them just to look at those numbers to see if it would work out. And when I got them, you saw me when I got them. My jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. Now, sometimes rotations have to do with it, depending on who you put in for DeMar DeRozan, when you put him in, the substitution patterns, if Kyle comes off at the same time. Those can affect those numbers. But those aren't small sample sizes.
No.
It's a regular season and a playoffs in which you played 16 games. I don't know. Well, let's continue it with Alvin Williams later on the show.
Yep.
Shall we?
Yeah, we will let you hear time. Some jackass wasted all the time in this segment. It was me.
I did it too.
Well, no, I made out with a camera in 4K.
Can we see that again?
We'll let you hear from John Gibbons from the Jeff Blair Show earlier today. Coming up, promise
Mark
within
Shapiro.
The next...
On John Gibbons.
Sorry, what did I say?
You said John Gibbons on the Jeff.
Sorry,
show.
Sorry, not John. It was I just lost my train of thought here.
Yeah, everybody did. Mark Shapiro on the Jeff Blair Show.
Kiss goodbye
about
this
John
segment.
Gibbons. Yeah,
wow.
You better kiss your career goodbye.
I'm
after
a big
that.
Upper lip guy.
But first, Alvin Williams will join us. We will discuss the good, the bad, the ugly, and what to do now as the Raptors come home.
Can they win tomorrow night? Live on Sportsnet.
Are the two related?
Why are you laughing?
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tonight, they're going to hit us. We're going to hit them. They're going to hit us. We're going to hit them. They're going to hit us. It's going to be a boxing match for 48 minutes.
Here's James. Electrifying the crowd at the cue. How do you slow down this offense? A 16-2 run for Cleveland.
You're too good of a player to run off steam and be frustrated.
It's been a tough night. They look demoralized.
There's not a single guy in that locker room that believes they belong in this series. And you can see it in their body language. They're a defeated team.
What will Saturday bring back home in Toronto for the Raptors?
Oof. It wasn't a knockout, but it was a second straight 10-8 round. I think if we were going to score it at home.
Yeah, 10-8 round, yeah.
A second straight 10. Alvin Williams joins us here on Tim and Sid. Before we get started here, Alvin, and break down what happened in Game 2 for the Toronto Raptors, I was wondering if you saw what my co-host did in the opening segment of the show when someone told him that Nova Scotia did not have a long weekend like the rest of Canada. Sid felt bad for Nova Scotia. And I just want to show you what Sid did for Nova Scotia.
Wow. Alvin, your thoughts.
Wow.
I told him to give the hug to Nova Scotia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tim supported me the whole way.
That was me puking in my mouth a little bit. And then it went back for more.
I want to know who the cameraman is.
He's the guy who's going to HR after the show. Sorry, Carson. Yeah, thumbs up from Carson. Love Carson.
He made it destroyed that man.
All right. Speaking of destroying men.
All right. So my first question is, wow. I don't have a question. Like, what do you, like, we're they've lost by 50 points combined in two games.
Right.
Coming back tomorrow night live on Sportsnet. How many times did you have to pee during a game?
A lot of times.
Like, what? Like, it's pretty common. It's more common than people would anticipate, right?
Yeah, drinking a lot of fluids.
Yeah, a lot of Gatorade or whatever.
But normally right before the games.
Yeah.
Before the games, during the games, maybe. You got halftime.
Were you surprised to see him kind of run off like that?
See who run off?
Kyle. Just before halftime. The saunter off. Because the American media is making this out to be like the story of the off day.
You know, it's crazy. I'm getting a lot of phone calls from Philly about this. I got, because I haven't seen it. But that's Kyle. He's getting himself ready. I guess he used the word decompress.
Yeah.
But you know Kyle, knowing Kyle the way I know Kyle, it's better for him to do that and go back to the reputation that he had when he first came to NBA. I'm not sure if everyone was aware, but Kyle is a guy that was shut down. Yeah. Like, he's a guy that would sit on that bench, not talk to anyone, may get off the bench, sit away from people, put his towel over his head, and really sulk, which can damage your team. So from a maturity standpoint, seeing where he came from, to understand, let me walk away a little bit and take care of what I need to take care of, he does those things. He stays up 1 o'clock. He gets himself back in the game, and that team needs him to be 100% in tune for that team to be successful. But a lot of people are looking at what an athlete is used to doing. An athlete, it would be more accepted if he was on the bench cursing a coach out, yelling at his teammates because he's frustrated.
Right.
So I'd rather him do that from a maturity level and a mental standpoint than show out on the court and really cost your team and bring negative exposure to your team and yourself.
And energy. And this is another one of those things where when the American media, who doesn't watch a team for an entire year, jumps in on a series, and act like they know what they're, like, this is a guy, how long have you known Kyle Lowry? Since he got to Villanova?
Yes.
Before Villanova?
Right before Villanova.
Right. So we're getting kind of a different angle on something that the American media is blowing out to be this guy quitting on his team. The one thing that I heard after the game that made me feel a little bit better in this spot, and I'm not saying they're going to win the series, but there's a lot of open looks. The Raptors just did not hit.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they played a strong enough defensive game to win it or that they didn't close out quarters and do all those things, but there were, legit, a lot of open missed shots that if they hit, the game could have been different.
Right. It definitely. And we said it once again, this isn't a team that's built for this position of the season. It's just not, from a personnel standpoint, from experience standpoint, it's just not, this team is building to get to this point. And it so happened that, you know, they're better than the rest of the teams to get them there. But Kyle and DeMar, we can say they haven't played their best basketball throughout the postseason. And the team is good enough to beat the weaker teams. But this is a superior team they're playing against. But the one thing that upsets me a little bit about watching them, it's because they're making too many fundamental mistakes. And then that's compounded by the lack of effort. It was one play when LeBron James has a reverse dunk. I looked at him run past Patrick Patterson with no effort to chase him down. It was not that effort. And sometimes that's where you see the difference between the intensity and then you just separate it from regular season to it's the end. This could be it. So when you start having that mentality that every possession and every play is very important, life or death, that's when you start seeing the turnaround. And that's what the players on the Raptors have to realize now. Every possession, LeBron James, no way he's getting that dunk without somebody at least being in the picture. I saw him get the dunk, Richard Jefferson sprint down. He's backpedaling, watching everyone.
It's like Richard Jefferson's security.
Yeah, and that's just a bad-looking play.
Right.
And you can say that, you know, I couldn't get there, or I had three fouls, whatever the case may be, but that's a bad-looking play where you have two players, one player backpedaling and the other player freestyle dunking in the playoff game, Eastern Conference Finals.
It's fascinating bringing it up in the way you just did, because the word quit, and like we just showed, is being used a lot by the American media. For the record, we have not used it on this show.
Okay, thank you.
No, we have not. It's a hell of a word for a professional athlete to be throwing out.
Yeah, that's,
it's a hell of a word.
Might be the worst word.
But considering what you just said in terms of the effort, I believe there's a fine line between quit and demoralized. Mm-hmm. Because for two straight games, there have been a moment where the Raptors were there. They were there physically. They were there mentally. It was tied at 46 last night.
Yeah.
Then a 16-2 run, and in both games, you could see the Raptors know they weren't good enough. And I think there's a big difference between that in the way that you characterize it in quitting. Do you agree or disagree?
Definitely, definitely. But if you want to, go the route of we're grown men, we're professionals, you can say the word quit. And that comes with really not having and not understanding what it's going to take. So you take the easy route and you just bow down. But once again, this type of effort and this type of situation, you're supposed to be exhausted. It's going to be hard. And we talked about it game one. There's going to be a point in this series where you're going to say, yo, we can beat these guys. And there's going to be a point in this series where like, we got to figure this out. So when you get to that point where we got to figure this out, do you have what it takes? Do you have the focus? Yeah. Do you have the dedication? Do you have everything that's going to take for you to concentrate, sit there, and figure it out and put it into action? And that's the most difficult piece because they're playing against a superior team. They're playing against superior players. Mm-hmm. And you hate to hear that as a competitor, but that's just what it is. So you have to do everything else that much better, that much more efficient, and that's the way you have to go. And if you're not prepared to do it, then you're going to get blown out every time.
You make a great point. And is the lesson that we're learning here in this moment about this team that you can be there's different levels of all-stars. And you can be an all-star, you can be a really good player, but you're always going to need help unless you – even LeBron James needed help. He couldn't do it alone in Cleveland, so he went to Miami with two other all-stars.
And
one of them a surefire Hall of Famer.
Couldn't do it alone at first.
Right. Then and in this spot, are we learning that these Raptors might, if they're going to be an elite team, playing on the level with this Cleveland team, that they're going to have to be like, say, the Pistons of the early 2000s, where there are guys on equal footing that have to put everything together to be an elite squad because they don't have the singular transitional talent like LeBron?
Yeah, definitely. And that's
or two, like Shaq and Kobe.
And that's exactly what it is. And when you do put those players together, no matter if it's three, four, two players, they all have to sacrifice. You can't have – it's been many players that they put on the team when they put Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Kobe, Shaq. They didn't win the championship.
No.
And they're all Hall of Famers.
Right.
But you have to be able to gel. You have to be able to sacrifice your game in order for that to work.
Like
but
Chris did in Miami. Chris Bosh did in Miami.
Chris did in Miami. Yeah. Dwayne Wade did in Miami. Yeah. Kevin Love's doing it now. But if you take LeBron James off of that team, as great as Kyrie Irving is, as good as Kevin Love, they may not make the champion. They may not make the playoffs.
Right.
Because you have two superstars, so-called superstars, who's never won. Kevin Love never won in Minnesota, and Kyrie never won in Cleveland before LeBron got there. So it takes that mixture to make sure you get to that next level. And the Raptors, they're far away because it's a luck of a draw who you can get. Who stays healthy, who stays. So it's that mixture. So you have your core, but they need pieces to get to that next level.
Right.
LeBron James has not hit 30 points in a game this postseason. They're 10-0. That says everything. Alvin, great stuff.
I'm off already, huh?
Sorry you had to see that thing earlier with the camera.
After seeing that, maybe you want to go home.
Sorry. I'm sorry for the camera.
It is not a series until someone loses at home. That's what they say. Raptors will try and make it a series tomorrow, live on Sportsnet. Three of us live, Jurassic Park outside of Air Canada Center, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Raptors Central Playoffs Edition leading you into Game 3, Raptors and Cavs. What does tomorrow have in store? All right, coming up, it was an interesting week for us, to say the least.
Yes.
We got boxed in a little.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to fight our way out. Best of the week.
And the camera just took penicillin. This is Tim and Sid. Best of the week next.
Carson, I'm sorry. I should have done that to your camera, man. Sorry.
Tim and Sid. So funny, you might pee a little. Luckily, you can listen on the can. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher.
Time now for Best of the Week, brought to you by Cub Cadet's new XT2 Enduro Series. Find your local dealer, cubcadet.ca.
That's cubcadet.ca. I often say that I feel like the sports media world is too often fueled by the negative. But not on this show. We have a diversity to this program every once in a while. And some of that diversity bleeds into this week's edition of the Best of the Week. You vote on your favorite. Max Scherzer and a Mets fan. They're supposed to be hated rivals,
hated.
Right?
Division rivals.
Nationals, Mets.
Hated.
But this kid got a thrill of a lifetime as he stood in the outfield and Max Scherzer walked over and this happened.
was a topic for conversation.
Oh, Joe, this is a dream. Joe's playing catch with Max Scherzer. Are you kidding me?
Usually, we get it.
How's that?
That kid had a lot of attitude, in my opinion. Not a fan.
That is amazing, no, is it not?
Cool. Pretty cool. Now, yeah. Same game. Two candidates, same game, best of the week.
Nice.
Daniel Murphy fakes out Yonis Cespedes at first base. The ball will go over his head, but Cespedes knows nothing of this. Watch carefully at second base. Daniel Murphy, and gotcha! Now, I don't know if Cespedes is going to third anyway. Watch it again. Wait for it. The ball's nowhere close. Gotcha! Hey!
The only thing that I got to know is Murphy didn't have a shot at this ball, did he?
No.
Okay.
But Murphy's Law says you need to wait for if it's real or not. And the evil Dr. Evil laugh.
They used to be Daniel teammates Murphy. Too, right?
That's right. Yeah, former Met, Daniel Murphy.
Not often, Sydney, do I get to say this. Rugby Sevens highlight. Now, you and I have both watched Rugby Sevens.
Rugby's awesome.
It is.
Rugby's awesome.
But Sevens is unbelievably fast.
Track me, man.
This is the Odell Beckham Jr. of rugby. It's Canada's Adam Zaruba. Watch the catch that he makes on his way to a very quick try.
It'll be Canada. And it's back underway. Oh, brilliant! Zaruba, we've just been talking about it. And he plucks it out of the air quite brilliantly.
Is that not the play of the weekend? That was unbelievable ball control here. Just watch this one. One hand, the big mitt goes up, sticks. That is unbelievable piece of play there from Zaruba.
No?
Very nice.
That was just
that's a dark horse winner today. Oh, yeah. Boom. Sevens rugby is sick, by the way.
Yeah.
The Steph Curry move, we've all seen it. He shoots and turns to the camera before it goes in. Mm-hmm. It's one of the crazier things in the NBA this season. A guy named Joel Dillis tried to reenact it. Let's just say didn't go according to plan here, Timmy. So he turns around.
Oh, I got a three.
Looks at the camera.
Didn't go.
He thinks it goes. Yeah, that's the first problem. Didn't go in.
Right.
And then, boom.
Who puts this online?
A parent that doesn't like him.
Like, does he put it online? Who puts this online?
Kids, the moral of the story is bad things sometimes do happen to bad people.
What?
I've never met the kid. I have no idea.
As a television broadcaster, oftentimes you are put in difficult circumstances, like trying to speak English on national television. Sometimes you just accept what's happening. Other times you power through it. I'm not sure Stephen A. Smith should have tried to power through this.
Dwayne Casey, being the outstanding coach that he is, if anybody could come up with something, he can. He doesn't have the personnel. I don't want to be hopeless. I don't want to sing gloom and doom. But my Lord, it's just too obvious to ignore. These guys are overmatched. Plain and simple. He'd be like, oh, Lord, you guys were awful. I don't know what to do. But hey, most other coaches are going to sit up there and say, hey, look, we're playing with house money. We've got nowhere to go but up. But this is a very daunting task because of an absence of personnel. 45 to 23 rebounding advantage, 22 more rebounds. I mean, come on now. It's. I'm sorry. I apologize to Canada.
Jonas,
but it's hopeless.
Jonas Valanciunas to the rescue? No, that's not good.
How about the dance crew right there?
Let's give it up.
I can't do any of that stuff.
Are they the Q-tips?
I wouldn't try. Not the Q-tips. All
the
I know
Q-sticks.
Is I'd need a hip replacement if I had to do some of that stuff right there.
I know. Ain't that wrong with that size, though.
The running man.
Uh-huh.
That one I could do. I could maybe do the sprinkler when we come back.
It's pretty good. Your footwork isn't there. You can do the old running man.
I could do the old running man. I could do go by and see if I can give it a good one. Do one of these.
What are you, Shaq?
It's for you, Nova Scotia.
You've done enough for Nova Scotia this
year. Tim, I got a question for you.
What's that?
What's in the box?
I thought for a second maybe. Would you
stop backing up?
Shut up! We're doing a show! It's live! You're doing the beep! The beep, beep, beep! Just shut up!
Right now on Twitter, everyone wants to know what's inside the boxes that interrupted our show.
It's just sitting there.
Sid's going to run out there and find out what's in the box. What's in the box? What's in the box? Do you?
Some people still don't know what was in the box.
I know, Tim, and I'm not telling.
A few weeks ago, we showed you a 100-year-old woman named Ida Keeling who set a world record in the 100 meters. She ran it in 1 minute 17 seconds.
Not bad.
Usain Bolt just did it in sub 10. She did 1 minute 17 seconds, celebrated in the most cocky of ways, by the way. When you set a 100-year-old record, what do you celebrate it with? You do it with push-ups. Well,
oh, look at that.
Her record has been broken. Ella Mae Colbert, or Colbert, depending on where she's from, a retired teacher from South Carolina with a little giddy up in her step. She smashed the record for 100-year-old women, crossing the line 46.7 seconds. Mountain lip, Ida Keeling, mountain lip.
That woman's 70 years old, man.
You call, let's see the birth certificate.
How old are you?
Where's the birth certificate?
Are you kidding? She could be mean, a racist woman.
She could beat you.
How old is she on that?
By the way, she fell down on the first attempt, too, which
is really?
Why there is a Band-Aid on the chin.
Can't show
so
that.
Don't
show that.
No.
No.
Don't throw too much shade at our friend, Ella Mae.
She's like 60. Whatever. Go to Facebook. Go to at Tim and Sid on Twitter. Vote for Best of the Week. The winner coming up later in the show.
Still coming, Tim and Sid, MLB insider John Heyman. We'll be by a little later on in the show.
Oh,
we're coming up next.
Wow, looking great. Look at Don.
The girls, they go crazy about a sharp dressed man. Ba 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 ba. Grapes next on Tim and Sid.
We can't afford the rights.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. A jam-packed show for Tim and Sid, John Heyman, and the one, the only, Donald S. Cherry. But it is time now for your news to know for a Friday. And we begin with the Toronto Raptors, who once again looked overmatched in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They hung with Cleveland for most of the first half. Last night, but they ended up losing, and a trip to the locker room by Kyle Lowry seemed to be grabbing a lot of the headlines south of the border. Our Eric Smith was there and has this take. Oh, Eric!
Yeah, guys, I really think it's much ado about nothing when it comes to Kyle Lowry and what went down last night. I mean, in less than 24 hours, this has quickly turned into bathroom gate. I've seen it many times myself with Lowry specifically over the course of the regular season. I can't put a number on it necessarily, but he'll go back to the locker room. And of course, broadcasters will wonder, cameras will follow. Is a guy hurt? Is that why he went back to the locker room? Did a trainer or a doctor follow with him? But then the player comes back a couple minutes later, and 9 times out of 10, it simply is just that. It's a bathroom break. In fact, earlier today, after the Raptors practice, Dwayne Casey joked about the fact that Lowry and Corey Joseph are probably the two guys that go to the bathroom more than anybody on his team or maybe even in the league. It's nothing more than that, and I think we should probably put it to rest, especially considering the Raptors have bigger issues right now. And that's the fact that they're down 2-0 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, having lost the first two games by a combined 50 points. But perhaps good news for the Raptors is that they haven't lost three in a row since about the third week of the season, since mid November, and they will certainly need that resiliency going in to a big game three on Saturday.
We lost two games on their home floor, and you know, it's their home floor. Now we have to bounce back and play our game and be us and on our home floor and take advantage of that.
Every game that we have the opportunity to go out there and play is a must win from here on out, because you know, by the numbers, we're down. You know, we're down 0-2. So we got to take advantage of every single game that we got and try to make the best of it.
My goal for this organization and this franchise is to win a championship. And whether it's this year, next year, whatever, but this is what you got to go through to get there. We went through the hard part last year, the year before that, to build, to get here. Now, let's just don't be satisfied. Let's go out and play with pride and belief that we belong here.
Guys, how important is it for the Raptors to hold court in Game 3 and avoid going down 3-0 and handing the Cavaliers potentially a stranglehold on the series? Well, here's a number for you. LeBron James, in his postseason career, when he has a 2-0 series lead, is 17-0. So the Raptors already are fighting an uphill battle. Guys?
Thanks, E. Game 3 goes tomorrow, live, right here on Sportsnet Raptor Central Playoffs Edition with us and Alvin Williams, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, with the game to follow, coast-to-coast basketball night in Canada.
From basketball to hockey, and yes, fill the thrill. And the Pittsburgh Penguins will look to take a stranglehold on their series against the Lightning tonight in a game you can see live on CBC at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 Pacific. Once again, Stamkos will not suit up for the Lightning. And heading into Game 4, neither team is trying to look too far into the future.
We're not going to look behind us, and we're certainly not going to get ahead of ourselves. We've had success as a group because we have had such a short-term focus in just being concerned about that one game in front of us.
Have you gotten to the point where you think that it's not going to happen as this drags on a little longer?
No, I just have to keep reminding people that it might not happen, just because... Obviously, I say one thing, it gets interpreted other ways. You say one thing, it goes the other way. So, I mean, obviously, like I said, I think it was day one. I mean, I wouldn't be putting the work in if I didn't think there was a chance.
All right, with the NHL Conference Finals well underway, the battle for junior hockey supremacy is just beginning. MasterCard Memorial Cup returns to Alberta for the first time in 42 years. Yeah. Incredible. And it all gets started tonight on Sportsnet with the OHL champion London Knights against the hosts of this event, the Red Deer Rebels. Let's head out to Red Deer, where RJ Broadhead and Sam Cosentino will get you set, guys.
Thanks, guys. Hello, everybody from Red Deer. The NMAX Centrium will be the site for the 98th MasterCard Memorial Cup, and everything's almost set to get ready. There's no Cinderella story this year. The favorites or near favorites won their respective leagues. Let's run through this great field, Sam. And Ruan Naranda, let's start with them because the Huskies are the number one ranked team in the CHL.
Well, Chase Marchand, the goaltender, comes in as a free agent. A wonderful story. Set records with a shutout streak of over 223 minutes long. Six shutouts, goals against, save percentage. All Quebec Major Junior Hockey League playoff records. He's the hottest goalie coming in.
With Brandon, really amazing. They trailed in their last 10 playoff games and wound up winning 8 of them, so they're never out of the fight.
Wow, it's amazing that they just play a persistent, patient style of game. But when I look at the Wheat Kings, I think of that top defensive pairing of Philadelphia's first rounder, Ivan Provorov and McCoy Urkamps, who played so well that he earned a contract with the Ottawa Senators. The two of them combined for 143 points during the regular season.
Game one tonight will be London and Red Deer, so let's start with London. And when you combine the regular season and playoffs, they scored over 400 goals, so the offense is epic.
And it starts with that top line. You look at Mitch Marner, Matthew Tkachuk, and Christian Dvorak. They combined over the 18 playoff games that London played for 119 points. That's almost 8 points per game.
Red Deer had a good season, their best in 5 years. Wasn't good enough to beat the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Eastern Conference Final, and they've had 3 weeks off, so is it the old saying, rust or rest?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit of both, but I think they're going to be really inspired by this home crowd, but really the wild card in the field. But when you look at their hockey club, getting some players back when it comes to Josh Mahura, the defenseman, and Ryland Toth, the goaltender, should be huge help now that they're all healthy and feeling 100%.
Red Deer won the MasterCard Memorial Cup in 2001. London did it in 2005. The 2016 MasterCard Memorial Cup is up for grabs, and the team that is the best over the next 10 days will win it. Guys?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Let's go to baseball. And it required extra innings, but the Blue Jays eventually snapped their 5-game losing streak last night with a 3-2 victory over the last place Minnesota Twins.
They're awful.
Jose Bautista finished 1-for-4 as the leadoff hitter for DeMarlo Hale's team. John Gibbons will be back behind the bench after serving his 3-game suspension. Blue Jays president Mark Shapiro was a guest on the Jeff Blair Show earlier today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto and gave Gibbons the vote of confidence.
I can tell you this, that, you know, for both speaking for both Ross and myself, to spend time around Gibby is to be incredibly confident in his leadership and to recognize that he's part of the solution. And that's how we feel. You know, we feel he's a guy that is consistent. He is strong. He is tough. He is committed. And I feel like he is the right guy to help guide us through the challenges that we're facing right now.
Part of the solution better than the vote of confidence. Does that sound good?
Tim, vote of confidence is always work out in the end.
Batista remains in the leadoff spot tonight. Kevin Pillar gets the night off. There is your Blue Jays lineup, 1 through 9. Your pitcher, Aaron Sanchez.
The second tennis Grand Slam event of the season begins Sunday at Roland Garros. Four Canadians have earned direct entry into the main draws for the French Open, and earlier this morning, they found out their first-round opponents. 8 seed Milos Raonic has drawn Janko Tipsarevic in the first round of the men's singles tournament, while Vasek Pospisil will play 7th-seeded Thomas Berdych. Meanwhile, on the women's side, Jeannie Bouchard will play Germany's Laura Siegmund, and Alexander Wozniak faces the really popular Yulia Putintseva.
Nice.
Tennis.
Attaboy.
It's the best.
We got to be careful with Yulia.
Very, very careful.
The Golden Spike meet, Czech Republic, where Usain Bolt was looking to break the 10-second mark for the first time this season. Been bothered by a tight hamstring after his first race of the season. Didn't seem to affect him on Friday. Bolt recovered from the slow start. Gone. Love, peace, and hair grease. 9-9-8. He is scheduled to race in London July 22nd, 2 weeks before the Olympics in Rio.
Don, we appreciate the time, brother. Happy Canada Day. Thank you.
Okay, guys, and keep good luck. You'll do a great job. Knock them dead. Toodaloo.
There is Don Cherry. And did you just call him brother?
I want to know one thing. Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me talk. I just want to know where the horn is, you guys. You haven't been using the horn lately.
That's for you.
I love it. I love it. Just like the old days. Thanks a lot, guys.
Happy birthday to you.
I'll tell you, that takes a cake, and look at that. Cherries on top. I love it. You want to give me the horn going out, I hope?
Hold on. Not just the horns, the big time horns.
All right. Oh, boy. I'm getting the works.
Never a dull moment. No. Why? Because when Don Cherry gives us time, it is special time. Don Cherry once again has agreed to come on Tim and Sid to the surprise of both Tim and myself,
right?
Because we're not good at our jobs. Don, great to see you. Welcome back to the show.
When I had that checkered jacket on, I had an awful hangover. I did my best, though, I have to tell you that.
No one knew that. Yeah. Now we all do. Thank you,
no
Don.
Makeup.
No makeup. Yeah. See, you look like $1 million. By the way, Don, the one sound effect we haven't used with you, I feel like it's the most appropriate one. Allow me to.
Oh. Yeah. Sharp dressed man. ZZ Top. ZZ Top, we'll call it here.
But you're the reason I heard that song for the first time in my life.
Whenever I hear that song, I now think of this.
There you go. Man, Jonathan, just lay it in.
Yeah.
All right, first things first, I see the mini. Am I looking at a mini Memorial Cup there, Don? Is that what I'm looking at?
This was given to me by David Branch and the Canadian Hockey League for being such a great guy and helping them so much. This is it. This is a... unbelievable that they gave it to me. I couldn't believe it. They gave it to me, and I put it on here. I see everybody's wearing their poppy, and listen, that's going to be a great game tonight. But, of course, at 8:45, you will all be chucking into Coach's Corner. We'll say that, okay?
Listen, I have to ask you, we're going to talk about the NHL, but it's obvious your love for junior hockey and the MasterCard Memorial Cup is near and dear to the heart. Why is it so important to you to support this?
You know, it all started in Kingston. Captain James Sutherland started it for a fellow that was killed there, Richardson, and he expanded it for all people, all soldiers that were killed in all wars. And it really bugs me when I hear some of the kids and some of the general managers, I've already heard, of course, say a Mem Cup. It's Memorial Cup. Do not dishonor them. And this is made for the servicemen and servicewomen of Canada, and it's a great tournament, I'll tell you that. And, of course, I won the cup in Barrie with the Barrie Flyers. I am quite proud of that.
It's a tremendous event, and it starts tonight on Sportsnet, the Knights and Red Deer. One last note, Don, Mitch Marner, what kind of an NHLer is this kid going to be? Because he's trending upward.
Funny thing is, my son Tim and I saw him play for the Don Mills Flyers. He was so small, 5'7". He was drafted 20th, so nobody thought of him. I said, Tim, this is the smartest guy in the whole league. And the way he's doing it now, little guy, and as I'm going to say in Coach's Corner tonight, all little guys, I said, when I hear the parents say, well, he's too small, this guy weighed about 140 pounds, minor midget, and he's going to be a dynamite for the Leafs, I'll tell you that. Look at those hands, I'll tell you.
All right, we can talk some NHL hockey too. And by the way, George Taylor Richardson Stadium in Kingston, I called many a Queens Golden Gales game.
The guy
at that lovely stadium. Could Phil Kessel be a Conn Smythe Award winner by the time this is all said and done, Don?
Oh, I can't see anybody. Maybe Martin Jones, the way he's playing, but I mean, the way he's going. And by the way, Pierre McGuire asked him if he was out of breath. Nobody knows why. If you watch down the States, Pierre, that's why he makes all that money. You remember I showed him out of breath on the bench. That's why he said it. So he's not out of breath when he's with Sullivan. He wasn't in shape here, scoring the goals now, and he's getting the money, and he's getting the goals, and that's the way it should be. He never did anything bad here. Well, never did anything bad here at all. He just scored goals here, and he's doing it down there. And I don't think he'll win it, but he's right up there, I'll tell you that.
For the record, my breath is always minty fresh.
Oh, that's good.
If anyone wants to ask.
Yeah, the camera knows.
It was when I kissed you the last time.
It's true. I know, right? I was prepared. All right, let's go from one guy who apparently can't get it done in Kessel. Let's talk Joe Thornton here for a second here, Don. They're six wins away from a cup. Talk about how they're playing. I know the goalie's out of his mind, but the Thornton story here could be huge too, right?
You know, everybody got the bad rap when he was in Boston. He didn't play. He was a captain. He was playing with his ribs all broken. In memory, he was all pulled muscles and everything, and he went out and played. Got a bad rap then. He hasn't really, I have to admit, hasn't done good in the playoffs, but I'll tell you something. I don't know. I'm not too crazy about him getting interviewed with no shirt on, but I'll tell you that Beard's doing good. Whatever it is, he is one of the best players, and boy, is he magic with that puck, that long stick, and he's always there. And this is the year, I think what happened was they took that captaincy away from him and took all the pressure away from him. That's what I think happened. He's playing dynamite.
It's funny to me, and I get rattled a little bit when I find it such a razor's edge. You get a label, and it sticks to you. Phil's had it. Thornton, I mean, this is one of the best pure passers in the game right now, if not the best, in Joe Thornton. And he's got to answer questions about his greatness. This guy's been great for years, has he not?
Oh, well, every year he almost leads the league in assists every year. And every year they bring up the playoffs, and it's not him, it's the team. But he's shown it this year. I tell you, he's the best San Jose guy. And he's the guy making guys out there with those beautiful passes. He holds it, hesitate, boom. And he's one of the best from St. Thomas, Ontario.
Do you think that Tampa's success without Stamkos could be the final nail in his career in Tampa?
Well, I don't know. I've said it many times before. I don't understand why he was treated the way he was last year. 14 minutes on the ice, sent to kill penalties and that. I don't know whether you never know what's going on in their mind and everything. Maybe it's easy down there. They don't recognize them that much and everything. But, you know, if Toronto offers them the $12 million and they offer the money, I mean, that's an awful lot of money. I know Tampa's not going to offer him $12 million. $12 million would be a nice, you go anywhere and be, boy, wouldn't he be something here in Toronto.
Yeah.
The Marner, that Matthews and the whole deal, all things turn around pretty quick.
It'd be something somewhere, and it'd also be something in Montreal where they could use some scoring, too.
Well, I don't think Montreal.
No?
No.
Don, what do you think of the argument that Stamkos, just the taxes in Canada is just killing all the teams, and Stamkos won't come here for that?
Well, you know, you got to be truthful. I mean, if you're a guy and you got a chance to go to San Jose or someplace at L.A. Kings, taxes aren't too bad. There's no nice weather and stuff like that. You'd be crazy to come to Canada. You get the taxes, you get nailed to the cross, as they say. You have the stupid metric, you have the customs all the time. And, it's if you could go and relax in San Jose, I mean, when you guys make a little more money, American money, of course, they all make American money, but there is pressure here. But if you want, the only way they get a Stampo is if they offer him $2 million more than anybody
else. Yeah, I agree with
That's the way to do it.
All right, that story is yet to be written. It's going to be an interesting summer. All right, Don, Dwayne Casey's having a rough go here with the Raptors.
Yeah.
He's got a team. They're low on self-belief. It's obvious. As a guy who's coached at a professional level, what's the advice?
Well, I did a tweet a couple of days ago, and I said, get a little mercy, please, because they just finished the Yeah, that's me right there. That's Kathy Broderick.
Okay. Got you covered.
Pretty good. All right. But they just finished the tough seven-game series. The other guys are waiting 9 days. It's a piece of cake. It was reminded me when Montreal, we'd finish off L.A. flying back and forth, and we played the Broad Street Bullies. Next 2 days, we'd play Montreal. They think LeBron and them are great. How about playing Montreal? They lost 8 games all year, one at home. And the only thing is, win the one game, and we took them right to the seventh game, and the only way you can do it is go at them. If you hold back, you got to go at them, because if you hold back, LeBron and them will just kill them. Lay it on the line, go out on your shield. That's the only way you're going to beat those guys.
What got you into the basketball? We noticed the tweets. We brought them up on the show. What, were you watching the whole thing?
No, I don't watch much basketball, but I like that Dwayne Casey sharp dresser, and I'd like to see them win the championship for Toronto. It'd be really good, I'll tell you that, but they won't, but at least give it a good shot. Go out swinging.
All right, well, we got about 30 seconds left, Don. The Jays, it's been up and down, kind of like last year, but people are expecting, obviously, a lot more this year. Is it patience with the Jays, in your opinion? What's the message with the Jays?
Well, listen, it's the same. I cannot believe I yell at the television. You know what? I'm a Jays fan. I told all of my Boston friends we're going to win it. I yell at them when the guys make some mistakes. Everybody seems to be trying. I tell body language. Everybody's giving a shot. If they only start hitting, the pitching's not bad. The relief isn't good. But if they ever start hitting, they're all right. And they've got the hitters. Let's hope they're not too far out. If they wait another month or so, they're going to be too bad. They're going to be there in the playoffs. I'm predicting they'll be there in the playoffs. They better, because as you guys know, I'm never wrong.
There you go.
Never wrong.
Hey, listen, who knew Jack of all trades and master of one? And you can see that one on Coach's Corner a little bit later on, 8:45 in and around with your good friend. Thanks for doing this, Dom.
Thanks,
appreciate
Don.
It.
All right, guys. Toodaloo.
The only guy that likes the horn, eh? Don Cherry.
Well, that's why we got to wear it out. The one, the only Don Cherry. And it's a little Ron line.
I tried to do the Ron line.
You know what he did. Penguins, Lightning.
There's only one Ron.
Lightning
are
done. Yeah. I don't think the Lightning are done.
I've counted them out before in this playoffs. I thought that they were too banged up. John Cooper's done a fantastic job.
They'll be back.
I will not count them out again. As for the Blues, they may be done. Still to come, we'll get you set for the second of a four-game series between the Twins and the Jays. But first, a recent poll in the Washington Post has sparked an interesting debate, one that we've had on this show before. Should the Washington professional football team change its nickname, or have we been overreacting for a couple of years now? We'll have the discussion after this break on Tim and Sid.
Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher.
We have often been asked why we don't say the name of the Washington football team on this show. And just to let you know, it arises from a conversation in 2014 when we went along with many of our listeners on the radio side and determined that the term Redskins was offensive enough to people to stop the use of it, and simply we didn't need to say it to have our conversations. Now, the topic reappeared in the hot take column of the sports media world yesterday when the Washington Post published results from a poll that suggested 9 of 10 Native Americans are not offended by the Redskins name, which we will say Redskins for the sake of this conversation. The headline was enough to stop me in my tracks. The Washington Post, which, it must be said, is well known for its battles with the team owner, Daniel Snyder, went on to say that of the 504 Native Americans polled, 7 out of 10 said they didn't feel the word Redskin is disrespectful to Native Americans, and 8 out of 10 said they would not be offended if a non-Native American person called them a Redskin, which led us on this show to ask ourselves the question, if 9 of 10 of those affected by the slur aren't offended by it, why should we stop using it? And I'm going to tell you, I'm more conflicted than I've ever been. The 90% number surprised me enough to reconsider the decision on this show.
Now, some have argued, like Minnesota Congresswoman Betty McCollum, that the phrasing fails to answer the moral question of whether or not an NFL team should profit off the name and imagery, which is obviously a big part of this. But some of the quotes from the people polled weren't worried at all, it seems. For example, a 72-year-old woman said, "We should be proud to have a team named after us." A 40-year-old former college football player by the name of James Scott said, and I quote, "I take pride in it." Most people I see griping about it are not Native Americans, end quote. And while we just stopped saying it and never really griped about it, we definitely fall into the non-native category.
Yep.
So the question after all that remains this. If 90% are not offended, why should we be offended at the name? And that's kind of where we're at here. After a very eye-opening poll from the Washington Post, a little over 500 people, you said, were polled across the country and in the state of Commonwealth of Virginia, where their headquarters are located.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there are people offended by virtually everything to a certain extent.
Yes.
You can choose to ignore that or respect it. There are things I'm uncomfortable with, but I'm not offended by.
Right.
And I think some of the reaction we're hearing in this poll is just that.
That's a good point of demarcation there.
Yes.
Offended by or just uncomfortable
with. Uncomfortable because I think there's a difference. Like,
right.
I mean, an offense is something that should stop immediately in your own mind. And we all have our different barriers for that. You know, I don't agree with a term, I don't like a term, I think is different. And this is now where, because the initial polling that came out in 2004 in various polls basically told us the same thing.
Right.
And some and groups came forward and really had a go at Washington and some other teams. Cleveland Indians had their issues as well.
Right.
But the polling that keeps coming out, Tim, despite groups having press conferences, fronting the media and getting attention and getting on news shows and yada, 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 it goes against the grain a little bit. Now, a poll is a poll. 500 people is not everybody.
Right.
1,000 people isn't everybody.
Right.
I don't think we need... My issue is we look at a poll and deem it as law.
Well, didn't...
And it's not law. It's a very small sample size on a very serious issue.
Right.
Now, you take that either way you want to take it. If you are defending the name of Washington's football team, if you're Dan Snyder, you're waving it around and saying, oh, hey, boom, we're good, guys. We're good. And if you're on the other side of the coin, you can marginalize it and say, well, that's not really... I'm on the side, Tim, of I don't think this is really reflective of what a lot of people think of this name.
But here's so I come at this conversation the way you do, and that is people are way too sensitive these days about offending other people in this spot. So I come at it from that spot, and yet we don't say the name. And the one thing that not enough people, and the way this was phrased, aren't weighing in on it is, so 9 out of 10 Native Americans aren't offended by the Redskins' name. It also means that 9% were. And more, if 7 out of 10 people said they didn't feel the word Redskin was disrespectful to Native Americans, then 30% thought the word was disrespectful. The article that changed my mind, the one that we had the initial conversation about, and we're going to let you decide this with us because, frankly, this show oftentimes is a bunch of different things, but in this spot, I want it to be a conversation, right? We had a conversation when we first decided not to say the name anymore. The article that changed my mind came in Esquire back in 2014. It was by a man named Baxter Holmes, who made sure that people understood what the actual definition, because there have been different ideas on where the term Redskin came from. And Baxter argued and then provided proof that the term came from this: the bloodied scalp of a native that would be paid for by the government. Okay? And when he tried to relay the fact of the story that he ran in Esquire was labeled "A Redskin is the scalped head of a Native American sold like a pelt for cash."
It's a really terrible thing.
Like it is an obscenely disgusting, terrible thing, which he provided proof of.
In a sad period, one of the many sad periods in American history.
And that, to me, was enough. The proof that he provided me was enough for me to say, this would be offensive to anyone who thinks of the imagery of where that word came from. And it's shocking. Like, to hear people just think, and I know there's a lot of people out there, that they just think it's about the color of a person's skin. And for many, not all, maybe 90% of those polled, that's not the imagery that comes up. But if you think of the imagery in that spot, it's hard to argue with, is it not?
Look, if it was just the color of a skin, that's enough for me, too. Let me just be clear on that.
Yeah.
If that were the definition alone, never mind what Tim just said, that's enough for me. Now, the other aspect, if I may be truthful, Tim, and I don't want to speak for Tim, the other aspect of why I will not say the name of Washington's
football team. We never speak for each other.
We never speak for, no, yeah. Honestly. We just don't.
That's what it does.
Because we're allowed to have opinions.
Right.
But we both hate Daniel Snyder deeply. Because he's a huge D-bag and thinks he can run a team, and he can't.
Right.
And on top of that, would hide behind any excuse, financially driven, by the way, to keep the name and not change it.
Right.
Let's be honest. And the only reason that Washington can't reach him is because the team doesn't operate out of Washington. They operate out of the Commonwealth of Virginia, technically.
Right.
And that's why they can't force Washington to do anything.
But a lot of his fans, right, let's be honest here, too, a lot of his fans want him to keep the name. There's a lot of people that will weigh in right now on Twitter and say,
this is
ridiculous. Yes. Why are we having this conversation if 90% of people affected by it aren't offended by it? To which, I guess in the end, without, like, just reading what Baxter Holmes argued is enough for me. But in the end, I just don't know why you need to offend 10% of people with a sports nickname. Like, even if it's 90%, and that poll is completely accurate, why do you need to offend 10% with a sports nickname, of all things? Like, why?
Yeah.
Unless you feel it honors. And the Florida State Seminoles...
There's no honoring here.
No, but the Florida State Seminoles have got the cosign, if you're wondering what the difference is from all the names, from the Seminole tribe in Florida. They say that it's properly represented. And for me, why even walk down the road on a sports nickname of upsetting 10% of the population?
Well, one thing is, I believe Florida State might make more money per year than Washington's football team.
Maybe.
Is the first thing. The football program makes that much money. But I'm with you in that. Let me try and map it out this way. I say something in this room, and I'm looking at Timmy, I see Dagan, Carson, Corey's here on three, Vinny's here. And we work in each other for almost a year now in this room. I like most of them except one. I'm not going to say who. But if I say something that four of the people in this room are completely fine with, but that one person comes up to me after and just says, you know what, you said blank, and it just kind of hurt me a little bit. All I need is the one guy.
Yeah.
And that's all not, I need is the one guy.
And that's
all
not
need
is, but that's not political. Like,
it's just the 10%. All I need is that 10%. That's all I need.
When it becomes the masses, people call that political correctness.
It's not,
and that's not
that's
political.
That's garbage.
Right.
That's not political. I'm not in the House of Commons throwing bows.
Right.
All right? It's not political correctness. It's human being-ism.
Right.
And if someone in this room is hurt and I did it indirectly, I'd like to rectify that, and I don't want to do it again. Yeah. And you might be making a lot of money, Dan Snyder, but 10% of people don't like what you're doing. And that's why I'm not going to say the name.
Well,
and that's why a lot of people don't.
You could also say that 30%, because 70% said that they didn't find it disrespectful. But if even in one person it conjures up what Baxter Holmes put in Esquire, a redskin is the scalped head of a Native American sold like a pelt for cash, and then provided the clip from a newspaper where people were selling that to me is I'm done. And we'll let you guys decide. If I think that both of our opinions remain the same, and Sid and I did not talk about this before we came out here because we wanted to see what the true conversation would be.
We didn't want to do the show before the show for you.
And whether or not we would agree on this, but I think we almost still agree that we're going to go Washingtonians until we can't.
But it's just like it's no, you're right. It will be the Washington.
I was going to open it up and say, listen, if you guys want us to say the name because who are we to be offended for other people, then...
I mean, listen, you can... In 2016, you can get frustrated with the amount of things people get offended by.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. There are people on this earth who wake up in the morning to complain. That is their job, self-given, for a variety of reasons. But... you cannot, when someone tells you they find it offensive, you need to shut it down and hear them out and respect it.
Yeah,
you might not like it, respect it, and move on. And I feel there's a lot of people in this Washington discussion who don't get that side of it.
And are buoyed by having other people have the same opinion of them, which somehow allays their fears of what they're saying in the first place.
And again, I really hate Dan Snyder.
Fair enough. We'll open it up on Twitter, get your reaction, and you know, maybe we'll walk down this, because there's still the what's next.
This poll doesn't help, I think, Timmy.
Yeah. But there's like, what's next? And it's like, will you take away the Indians' name? Will you take, hey, listen, Canadians are upset about the Montreal Canadiens. And listen, let's be honest here. That is completely and utterly different. None of those represent the scalped head of a human being. All right. Getting a lot of that.
We are.
And none of that.
Well, I think after what you just said, just shut that down.
I hope so.
Shut it down.
The Jays' five-game losing streak is over. But 3 runs in 11 innings didn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence moving forward. We'll discuss the Jays' offense, John Heyman, after the break, and we'll get your reaction and more, so long as I can stomach reading it. Next, I'm Tim and Sid.
Well put, Tim.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back, Tim and Sid. Tim McAuliffe, Sid Sixero, John Heyman of MLB Network and WFAN in New York. He's a fantastic friend of the show. We expect him along momentarily. We'll talk Jays. We'll talk John Gibbons. We'll talk the new manager, Jose Bautista, and his philosophy with the batting lineup. But reaction coming in from the conversation Tim and I just had regarding the name of the Washington professional football team in the National Football League. And the poll that came out this week from the Washington Post that basically said 9 in 10 people are not offended by the nickname or don't find it offensive. And let's just say people at Tim and Sid have a couple of opinions on this.
Yeah, and they, again, 504 Native Americans were polled. So it wasn't just a cross-section of people that were polled. It was actually Native American people, and that's why we're having the conversation.
In all 50 states, it wasn't just in and around the football team as well. They went across America with it, and it was pretty diverse.
Robert E. writes in and says, you're getting pushback on the Redskins name because everyone is fed up with the I'm offended mentality.
It comes
down to intent.
I'm with you on the everyone offended mentality.
Yeah, no, I'm with him. We're both come into this saying people are way too sensitive right now. So if the intent is not to insult, are you good with it? That's what Robert's trying to say.
No, I'm not good with it because I think they know now they are.
Right.
Like, my intent wasn't to rear-end that other car last night, but it happened, and I regret it, and I wouldn't do it again if I was in a similar situation. I can help it.
Right.
Redskins have heard, pardon me, Washington's heard from many people on this.
We're allowed to use many the word groups. For the sake
you're
of
right,
conversation.
You're right. I'm still jumping on it.
Okay.
They've heard from a lot of people. This is not a new argument. They don't care. That's the problem.
Mike wrote in and said, the team's been around for years. Why get upset about it now? And the answer is because you learn, right?
There are people 80 years ago that couldn't vote.
We learn how ignorance
works. Take that argument
works.
And you flush it with me, because I'm not hearing it.
Anthony Hutchison writes in and provides us with another poll. He says the WP, Washington Post poll, is ridiculous based on the methodology used. Real number, 67%, I think it is offensive, and he linked to a poll done in a Native American publication. Luke Inglis writes in and says they should just change their name to the Washington Bigots. Chantel writes in and says, you guys take shots at Portuguese people. I'm offended. You should shut down your show now. # stop being so sensitive.
Because it's not my fault they haven't won a tournament. It's true.
And Mike writes in and says, can't stand it anymore. Changing the channel. You guys suck.
All right, that same guy will be watching Monday, hating on us further.
You guys suck. And Rocky.
That's how that works.
Here's the one that may disagree with me that I think I agree with. Can I not respect your opinion but not change what I do? Do you not need to respect my right to do the thing that you don't like? I think you're pretty close to being truthful there, so long as you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
right?
Washington's protected under various rights.
Yep.
Copyrights, image rights. Doesn't mean it is right.
We lost some of those rights, too.
We lost some of those rights. Yeah, although trademarks. This poll might help them get them back.
Right. Want to talk some baseball?
Let's go baseball.
Let's lighten the mood a little bit. The Toronto Blue Jays coming up fresh off of snapping a 5-game losing streak.
Biggest win of their season, the Blue Jays last night against Minnesota.
By the way, maybe we'll go through a little bit more of the feedback because there's a lot pouring in right now.
On the phone, John Heyman, MLB Network, WFAN, one of our favorites. John, how you doing? Welcome to Tim and Sid.
Hey, Tim and Sid, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. John, we had one of those moments today in the Toronto baseball market and in Canada that every sports team knows probably isn't a good sign if it happens. And it was a vote of confidence from President Mark Shapiro on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jeff Blair earlier today. Your take on the relationship between John Gibbons, this club, and the new hierarchy, and where do you see it going forward?
Yeah, I wouldn't take that so hard. To me, I don't put too much into that, not because I think he's getting fired. I've thought all along, and I could be wrong, but I've thought all along that he was going to keep him throughout the year. Obviously, we know John Gibbons is an Alex guy. I think he would be respectful to give him the year rather than bringing your own guy if things aren't going well and then have him start with a team not doing well. I think they want a fresh start for their own guy next year. I think that's basically why he's got the vote of confidence. Now, maybe I'm reading something negative that isn't there. I don't know, but my assumption all along is that John Gibbons would get the year. If he wins the World Series, maybe he gets to stay. If he gets the World Series, maybe. Otherwise, he's probably gone.
A couple people thought a bad sign was when Eric Wedge was hired. Would you agree with that?
I think that's a bad sign, yeah, because Eric Wedge is clearly a Mark Shapiro guy going back for a long, long time. And, you know, when that happens, oftentimes that person then becomes the manager. But I would say this, in Cleveland, Buck Showalter was hired for the front office at some point, and he didn't ultimately get the manager job. So I wouldn't guarantee that Eric Wedge is going to be the manager. In fact, I wouldn't say that it's a great likelihood, but I wouldn't say it's a good sign either. For John Gibbons. I just believe that Gibbons will get the year, barring something very odd, and then be replaced after the year, barring World Series.
All right, John, we trust your knowledge in this spot, and we have a panic button on the show. And yesterday, we asked Jays fans if they wanted us to hit our panic button. It was nearly split down the middle, if I'm not mistaken, 6-0.
Yes,
if you were in charge of the panic button for the Toronto Blue Jays, would you hit it?
No, no panic button. This is a really good team. It's just very early. You know, we've played basically, a quarter of the season, something like that. Way too early to panic, way too early to judge. Plenty of time. Obviously Baltimore and Boston are playing well. It's going to take more than 90 wins. I think we can say that's for sure in the East now to win that division. But too early to panic. A lot of teams have gotten off to bad starts, and I've seen teams be terrible for half a year. I remember the 2005 Astros. They were abysmal for half a season, ended up in the World Series. So, I mean, we're talking a quarter season here. I wouldn't worry too much. I wouldn't panic, and I wouldn't even worry. I'm really not that concerned.
All right.
Just to put a bow on John Gibbons, and we'll move on. John Gibbons apparently just quoted on the vote of confidence that was given earlier today.
Okay.
Gibbons said, quote, "You learn over time that in these jobs, a lot of the time you are in the crosshairs. If you can't handle that, you're in the wrong business. All I know, as long as my mother gives me a vote of confidence, I'm all right." End quote from John Gibbons. That's as John Gibbons a quote as you're going to get. So
all we needed was the accent.
I know. I missed. Sorry. It's a quote. It is what it is. But that's a classic quote from Gibbons. Your initial thoughts, John, on Jose Bautista and company going to management with a new way of approaching the lineup last night with Bautista leading off. How rare does that happen? How common does it happen? Your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that common. I have no problem with it. Anything to get the team started. Bautista does make sense, even though he's a slugger. He does walk so much that he makes sense as a leadoff hitter. It doesn't bother me. They're playing the Twins. We've seen Joe Mauer leading off for them on occasion. So I think it's actually not a terrible move. I see people ripping it all over the place, but something was needed to be done to jumpstart a team, and I think it's a nice start. Obviously, they hadn't played well since their melee brawl, whatever you want to call it, in Texas, and they needed to get going with something. I kind of like it, actually.
There were a bunch of stories that we wanted to get to, but yeah. Time is not our friend. Maybe you can come back and talk about Chris Sale. We can talk about the future Chicago World Series with a pair of Cy Youngs going toe-to-toe, how huge the Matt Harvey story will be in New York. We always appreciate the time. Let's talk some baseball again soon, okay?
All right. Great talking to you guys.
All right. Thanks, there John. Is John Heyman. I want to go into the
He's
Matt
good,
Harvey.
Too. We didn't
I
have the time.
Go into the Chris,
He's really
Chris
good.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale, 9-0.
Are the White Sox legit?
I'm stunned because you had that Adam LaRoche story in the spring, and it looked like the room was going to be split right down the middle. They're fine.
Yeah.
Like, they're Robin Ventura as I'm humming. It's crazy. Almost done here on Tim and Sid. But we have a best of the week winner for you on the other side, and I am being told, I don't have all the details, but I'm being told an upset has taken place.
What?
A massive upset. Best of the week.
What?
Huge.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Time now for last call here on Tim and Sid. Sixero almost broke the studio with this mini soccer ball that I have right here. Earlier on in the show, we were wondering how many provinces and territories in this fine land of ours had the long weekend for May 2-4. We learned that perhaps those in the Maritimes did not have the long weekend. We have officially got the news that Victoria Day is a general holiday in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, PEI, Newfoundland, and Labrador, but they're not stat holidays there. And in Quebec, of course, they honor National Patriots Day in Alberta Province. But Sid Sixero felt bad because he heard that Nova Scotia didn't have the long weekend. And Sid got up close and personal and told Nova Scotia that he loved them, he cared for them, and he was sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You got to work Monday, most of you. Come here.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Oh my God! Oh, Nova Scotia just puked in their mouth.
What are you doing?
Can we have a moment here? Can you just leave us alone? The write-in votes made that the winner best of the week. This is Carson. This is the man who was inches away from that.
Poor guy.
Sorry, Carson.
How's it's his, all right. Don't
file an HR complaint, please.
How's his breath?
Minty fresh.
Coming up tonight, the MasterCard Memorial Cup kicks off in Red Deer, Alberta. The hosts face Mitch Marner and the London Knights. Preview show starts 7:30 Eastern. Puck drop just after 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Sportsnet.
Meantime on Sportsnet 1, Jays look for a second straight win in Minnesota. Aaron Sanchez will take to the hill.
After both games, Eric Thomas and Brendan Dunlop will look a little different than this graphic. They will have Sportsnet Central for you after the game.
And that's CBC Game 4, Pens Lightning. Pens looking to take a 3-1 series lead. That is it for us. Tim, myself, Alvin Williams, Jurassic Park, tomorrow, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet. Hugs and kisses to you, Nova Scotia.
We love you, Nouvelle Écosse.